Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you all had a good lunch. You know, this year is the 400th anniversary of the publication of the most influential book ever published, the King James Version of the Bible, or the Authorized Version, as it's called in Britain and some Commonwealth countries. Benson Bobrick, who's an American historian, wrote a book about 10 years ago called Wide as the Waters, about how the Bible was taken into all the world by people from England who later on, of course, founded the United States and founded other countries like Australia and New Zealand and so on. And he wrote in his book that Englishmen carried their Bibles with them everywhere. Jacques Barzan, who's another historian, a French-Canadian historian, lives in Wyoming now, wrote about how this enthusiasm for the Bible continued until 1900, the first year in which more secular books were published than religious books. During the Feast of Tabernacles, my wife and I were in Victoria Falls for the feast. We had a wonderful feast there, enjoyed it immensely. And one afternoon, we went with a couple of people from Zimbabwe. We went over to Livingston, a town right across the border, right across the falls. And while there, we went to the Livingston Museum. Livingston is rare in Africa. It's one of those cities that got its name during colonial times and has kept its name. The government did not change the name when the country Zambia got independence. And the reason they did not change the name is because, and I quote the first president, Kenneth Kaunda, he said, David Livingstone brought light into darkness. You know, David Livingstone, of course, did not believe the same as us, but David Livingstone died taking the Bible into Africa. And that, 150 years later, enables us to preach the gospel message to people in Africa. Throughout the English-speaking world, the Bible is readily available. It's not always available anywhere else. Now, Africa is the only continent where the number of people claiming to be Christian is actually increasing. Everywhere else, the numbers are in decline. In fact, the fastest growing religion here in the United States, in North America, in South America, in Europe, Australia, and in Asia, the fastest growing religion is Islam. Africa is the only continent where the number of people claiming to be Christian is going up. That's a significant change that has taken place in our lifetimes. There's a tremendous enthusiasm for the Bible in sub-Saharan Africa. Yet it's also the continent most ravaged by HIV/AIDS. Clearly, churches are not having much of an impact in these areas when it comes to educating the people on the biblical solutions to their problems. When we were in Zimbabwe, I read that the life expectancy of people in the country, largely due to AIDS, is 37 for men and 34 for women. Can you believe that? That's the life expectancy of people in Zimbabwe. In Ghana, in Kumasi, I've spoken a number of times to the Virgins Club. They've made me a member, an honorary member, I should add. And when I speak to them about AIDS, I explain that the Ten Commandments is the solution to the problem. If everybody kept the commandments, there would be no AIDS in 25 years. It would die out. The Virgins Club, by the way, was started deliberately to help people to remain celibate until they get married. And then that would avoid a problem like AIDS. So it's a very well-meant organization, and the people who attend that particular program are not members of United. They're members of different churches, and also Muslims are there, and they meet every Sunday afternoon and try to keep the young people focused. So I explained that the Ten Commandments is the solution to the problem. If everybody kept the commandments, there would be no AIDS in 25 years. Our pastors in Ghana have a great sense of urgency in preaching the gospel because they realize the future of Africa is at stake, and the future of the lives of all the people that they deal with are at stake. They want to get the message out as quickly as possible. The most effective tools there in Ghana are radio. Some of our pastors have their own radio programs, and also Bible lectures in villages. Just thinking about the pastors with their own radio programs, one Sabbath morning I was asked if I would be ready to go and make a special appearance, a guest appearance on the radio. And when they came to get me, I was dressed in just casual clothes. And they said, "Where's your suit?" I said, "My suit? Why do I need a suit? We're going on the radio." And they said, "Oh, you must wear a suit for the radio." So it's one of those cultural differences I still haven't figured out. Sometimes it's best just to comply and not try to change and don't ask too many questions. But anyway, I had to wear a suit for the radio. What's needed, of course, is the life-changing true gospel message. What many churches are teaching does not address the issues of problems like AIDS and the need for people to change. Look at Mark chapter 1. I can read these scriptures to you. After John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Not only do we need to take the good news of the kingdom out into the world, but we also need to tell people of the need to repent, to change. Because until they do repent, until they change their lifestyles, you know, they're going to be dying of problems like AIDS, which now is wiping out so many parts of Africa. So the good news comes first, but then a message of repentance, of the need to change to achieve their full potential in this life now. Just go back a page to Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. A reminder of what these verses say. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age." This is the work that Jesus Christ started. This is the work that we need to advance today. If we go back 40 years, the church was enthused about preaching the gospel. I mentioned yesterday that Dan and I were students at Bricky Wood. There was no question during my time as a student that I wanted to serve the work in some capacity, not necessarily in the ministry. At first, in fact, I was employed by the editorial department, and then later on in the ministry, then in various parts of Africa. There were lots of opportunities. The church was growing fast at that time. When we first went to Ghana in 1978, the first week we had 55 people attending. By the time we left 5 years later, there were 600. You know, and that was fairly typical of many countries in which the church was doing the work. God was calling people, and the people who were being called were changing their lives, and it was quite remarkable. I mean, just give you another example. During the 5 years that we were initially there, we went back later on for a couple more years, but during the first 5 years, we had a lot of political instability, coups, and we ended up with a famine for 18 months, and roughly 1 million people died out of a population of 13 million. Nobody in the church died. Because we worked together and because we had biblical solutions that enabled us to survive through that very difficult period. Some of those people probably would have died if they had not been called into the church. So when people understand the truths of God, they learn things they didn't know about before. Another example is hygiene. Most of the diseases in Africa, the diseases that kill people, are waterborne diseases. The biggest single thing that they could do in Africa to save lives is to get people to wash their hands with hot water and soap. You wouldn't believe how difficult it is to teach people that very simple concept. We grow up with that. We teach our children and our grandchildren about that. But in a continent like Africa, they don't. And so, you know, we have to teach the people, and we have to keep on repeating the fact that they need to wash their hands. And explaining about germs, my wife still tells me about how one of the young girls in the church, she saw her out the window looking at her fingers like this and asked her why she was doing that. And she said, "I'm looking for the germs." She couldn't see them. But, you know, we got the concept across that you've got to wash your hands. And, of course, that also helps people avoid the sicknesses. So it's not just the knowledge and understanding of the kingdom of God. It's also the need to change and live a very different way of life. In the 25 years since Mr. Armstrong died, we've suffered many setbacks. But I believe that during that time, God has been with us, helping us to grow both individually and collectively as a fellowship of believers. Mr. Armstrong always said that you are converted to the extent that your heart is in the work. The work is preaching the gospel all over the world. Matthew 24, verse 14, says this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The end, the return of Jesus Christ, won't come until we've finished preaching the gospel. You know, after all the turmoil that we've gone through recently, one thing is clear, and it's very encouraging to me, and that is that we've been left with solid congregations around the world that God can call on, that God can build on by calling more people. It's just amazing how, I mean, for example, down in South Africa recently with Victor Kubik, that, you know, we lost quite a few people, but we also had a lot of people whose zeal for the church has been renewed and strengthened greatly. Their desire to preach the gospel in their particular part of the world is a desire that they're very fervent about. And it struck us all that in each of the major cities, we've got a congregation. And in some cases small, but in a couple of cases quite sizable. And so we have the nucleus of a work in that part of the world again. And that's what we're going to do over the next few years in South Africa and in Zimbabwe and Zambia and Malawi. We've not done a very good job of preaching the gospel during the past 25 years. I think this has led to some frustration and discontent. I remember over 10 years ago a very good friend of mine in the ministry telling me he was leaving to follow somebody else who was departing United. He felt this other person would do a more powerful work and was more interested in prophecy. I warned him that that was not the case. I wasn't surprised that he left the other church a couple of years later. You know, often we've been held back by others in the United Church of God when it comes to preaching the gospel. There have been other priorities. But now there's a firm commitment on the part of all the council members to devote more of our resources to preaching the gospel. We will do anything and everything to be more effective in reaching people around the world, reaching them with a message that is unique to the churches of God, the message of the true gospel of the coming kingdom of God, of repentance from sin, of keeping the commandments of God, of the Sabbath and the holy days, which reveal the plan of God for mankind. These will be preached every way we know how, through the internet, print, television, radio in some places, like Africa, good news, Bible lectures, whatever it takes to do the work, we will use that medium, whatever is available to us, and whatever doors we can go through with the money that we've got. You know, we may not have long. Matthew 24, verse 14 shows a connection between preaching the gospel and the end of this age. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. What we're seeing now is rapid and dramatic change in the Middle East that could be of great prophetic significance. We also see an increasing number of articles warning of a default here in the United States which would change the whole balance of power in the world. The latest article I saw mentioned just how Tim Geithner is going to have a decision to make later on this year. Either the U.S. will default on its loan repayments to other countries, or we will have to cut out Social Security. When I first read that, I thought, you know, he'll probably default on the loan repayments because an election's coming up. You can't default on Social Security. But the article carried on and said, no, he would have to default on Social Security because otherwise we would be cut off from all international financial transactions and all trade. That's how serious our financial situation is. And still, most people in Congress are just ignoring it. But you see, this is what we're living in right now. This is the time we're living in. So major changes in Egypt on a par with what happened in Iran. I heard a speech by the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, who said that if Egypt falls, it will be more serious for Israel than Iran having nuclear weapons. That's quite a statement, and that was just yesterday. Saw it on the internet this morning. Interestingly, too, when you think back to our understanding of prophecy over the decades, The Economist magazine early in January highlighted the fact that the fastest growing economy in the world right now, suddenly, unexpectedly, is Germany. So Jasmina's buying us all dinner tonight. So these problems are mounting up, and, you know, they indicate that we could be at the time that we've long expected. But in whatever time we have left, no matter how long, no matter how short it is, we will preach the gospel. Africa, of course, is not the only part of the world that needs the gospel. Every country that needs it. This country desperately needs it. There was an article about a year ago in Christianity Today magazine. Very good article. It asked the question, what's the biggest problem in America? And the article gave the answer, alienation from God. I'd agree with that, absolutely. Because of a lack of religious beliefs, people fill the vacuum with drugs, alcohol, or living a promiscuous lifestyle, which in turn destroys marriages and leads to family breakdown. People in the United States need the gospel message, the true gospel message of the coming kingdom of God, the hope of the kingdom, and also the need for repentance and the need to follow Jesus Christ and live as Jesus Christ loved. Most churches don't get into these issues. Most churches are come-as-you-are churches. You know, you don't need to change. Whatever your lifestyle is, it's okay with us. But, of course, some of those lifestyles are damaging to people and their lives and damaging to our society. And we need to explain that to this world. The breakdown of the family has contributed greatly to the financial problems that we've got as a country. Financial problems which are rapidly coming to a head, and it's all the result of breaking the laws of God. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 1 says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." You know, we need to do that. Give a more powerful message about the need for repentance and for change, and pointing out what sin is. Sin is a word that's hardly used anymore. You know, words like shame and sin are not really in common usage anymore. 100 years ago, they were, because people knew what sin was. But today, people don't. Anything goes. And generally, in any evening on television, anything really does go. And this is the popular culture that we live in. In Ezekiel chapter 33, we read about the role of the watchman and how the watchman traditionally in ancient Israel would sit there on top of a hill or a mountain and look out and see if any foreign invaders were coming and would then give a warning. And then the role that we have is likened to that of a watchman. "So you, son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but this blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul. So we have a responsibility to warn the Israelite nations of the consequences of all this sin. No matter how difficult it might be, how challenging it might be to us, we need to give that warning. Because otherwise, the responsibility for failure will be placed on our shoulders. Therefore, O Son of Man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. Again, repent. For why should you die, O house of Israel? So we need to give a stronger warning message to the Israelite nations of the consequences of their sins. All the problems we are facing in the United States at this time, in the United Kingdom, in Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, and South Africa, they are all the result of breaking the laws of God. All the problems we see around us. You can watch the news in the evening, and every single issue that comes up, you realize God's laws have been broken. If everybody kept God's laws, we'd have no news channels. What would they have to talk about? Nothing. But we have them because everybody's breaking the laws of God. And consequently, we're in a mess. And people need a clear message that helps them to understand these things. Most churches fail to teach this. They fail to call for repentance, for obedience to God and his laws. They believe that Jesus Christ abolished the law. Matthew 5, verse 17 makes clear that is not the case. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For those who love their country, whatever country you may come from, the best thing you can do for your country is to get behind the preaching of the gospel. Get your heart once again in the work of God, of preaching the gospel to this dying world. And remember, we are converted to the extent that we have our hearts and minds in the work of God.